Okay, we're mobile here. This is good. We're mobile. My name is Tom Little. I'm from Arlington, Texas. I'm happy to be here with you this weekend. Brother Neil, we were invited to come and enjoy the riches of Christ with you. We couldn't turn it down. I mean, to enjoy the riches of Christ, how are you going to turn that down? Right? So hopefully, as we get into the portions in the Word that are in the outlines, the Lord could speak to each one of us. Amen. We're here for something spiritual. So we have to use the right organ, okay? I hope you had some dinner. I hope you ate something. If not, you're probably hungry and like, oh, need to get something. But anyway, you have to use the proper organ.
Amen. Right.
That the Lord could speak, unveil, and show something of himself to you. So if you're full, then nothing else can get in. And so at the beginning of our time, I would just say, we all inwardly, and even as you go to your cabin tonight, you should pray, Lord, empty me. Lord, unload me. Lord, I want to be open for your fresh filling. If not, it's like a bottle. You are a vessel, but the lid's on. So nothing else can get in. Neither can anything come out. But we need to pray, Lord, open me.
Amen.
Lord, open me.
Amen.
That I could see something new.
Amen.
Something fresh.
Amen.
Something of Christ.
Amen.
That I've never seen before in my entire life.
Amen.
I want to be wrecked by a vision of the riches of Christ.
Amen.
I hope all of you go home another way.
Amen.
You go home, you're like, I saw something.
Amen.
I saw some. I can't get it out of my sight. I saw something. I saw something. We want you to see the riches of this wonderful Christ.
Amen.
But for that to happen, we need to begin by saying, Lord, unload me, empty me, right? In Matthew chapter 5, it indicates that we need to be poor in our spirit. What does that mean? Not to have a poor spirit, Leon? Poor spirit? No, it means to have an unloaded spirit.
Yeah.
An emptied spirit.
Yeah.
Have you ever talked to somebody and you begin the conversation and right away they go, oh, I know. Yeah, good point, I know. They don't even let you talk. Because you know. Yeah. Okay, you know what? That's a disease. That's called the I know disease.
Yeah.
We need to say, Lord, have mercy on us. Concerning Christ and the riches of Christ, we want to be healed of the I know disease.
Yeah.
Unload me, even of the Christ that you enjoyed this morning. I read the Bible this morning. Oh, it was good. But if I hang on to that, Christ is ready to speak and impart something fresh to you tonight. But you're not open.
Yeah.
Everybody else is going, whoa! And you're going like, what are they seeing? Because you're full. So we begin the time this weekend, we're going to get into the riches of Christ. And there's so much, right? But we need to be those that are open and unloaded. So a little bit about who I am, how did I end up here, just briefly, and then we'll get into some of the portion concerning the first message tonight. You know, actually, my testimony is your testimony. And you know what's a testimony of? Mercy.
Amen.
It's a testimony of mercy. None of us would be here without the Lord's mercy. Who your parents were, where were you born, who spoke the gospel to you. It's all mercy. So, may we have a fresh appreciation. It really is the Lord's mercy that we could even be set apart, away from our school, away from our studies, away from the environment that we're normally in, to hear something fresh. It's a mercy that we could be here this weekend. So I was born into a Christian family. My parents were missionaries. From age 5 to 10, I lived in the country of Indonesia. Actually, I started learning to speak English. My mom homeschooled us, but mainly I spoke Indonesian. I sympathize with ELI students. I couldn't hardly speak English when I came back to the United States. So I might use words tonight that are not English words. But my wife isn't here to correct me, so amen. So I was raised in an environment of my mother and father seeking the Lord and desiring to minister Christ to people. Firstly, he became a minister in the United States. Then he got frustrated with the system and he said, I want to go to a place where nobody knows anything about Christ so I can minister Christ to those people. So I was raised in that environment. It was about 50 years ago I got saved. I'm a grandpa. Like, that's a long time ago. I was about 5 or 6. I opened to the Lord, exercised to receive the Lord in a simple way. But you know what? I still feel like I'm young. Because I'm all the time with young people. They make you young. Right? Andrew, how about it, brother? Don't get old. Exercise to be with others, young ones, always younger than you. You know what they do? They cause you to become young. You can't get old, right? So anyway, received the Lord at a young age and then eventually began to pursue the Lord, gave myself to the Lord in my junior high and high school years. I went to college at UT in Austin. I got a degree in mechanical engineering. I married my wife. I have 3 children. I have 1 granddaughter, another one on the way. And I love the Lord. There it is, my testimony. And you know what it is? One word, mercy. That's it. That's all it is. I didn't do anything. It wasn't my, arranging that I'd be born in a Christian family. It had nothing to do with me. It's just mercy. Even our being here, coming up today, I was like, mercy. It's mercy. Guess what? That's one of the riches of Christ.
Amen.
And that's the one that reaches us first.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, so anyway, I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to be able to share a little bit with you concerning the riches of Christ. Okay, so we have the, if you have your outline, let's look at the very first page, the first page there. And if you would like, you don't have to, but if you would like, what I'd like you to get some appreciation, and this is how we're going to go through the outlines. There's a number of words on this, right? Let's just read it as it is. Ready? Let's go. Read it all together. Here we go. Enjoying. So, don't forget the primary thing that you're supposed to do this weekend. Edmund, enjoy. If you go home and you didn't enjoy, you missed the whole point of the weekend. I'm going to give you a scriptural verse here in a minute about that. That's what God wants you to do. If you're not an enjoyer, you're not biblical. Whoa. Okay, here we go. But I want you to define, I'm going to help you define this word enjoy. And in the messages, we'll get the title. We'll get some appreciation. So this word enjoy in the outlines are mainly these two words, and you need to write these two words above enjoy. Okay? The two words you need to write is vision and experience.
Amen.
Vision and experience. So how are you going to enjoy? You need to be a person that sees a vision,
Amen. And
then you need to be a person that experiences that vision that you saw, right? So the enjoying is very practical.
Yeah.
So we'll get into. So tonight's message is mainly on vision of who this Christ is. And tomorrow morning we'll move towards more experience. But the goal is to enjoy.
Amen.
The goal is to enjoy, right? So we need to listen, enjoy by having a vision of this Christ and having the experience of this Christ. Who is he? He's unsearchable, right? Unsearchably rich. Unsearchably rich. But it has an aim and a goal. Those riches are for the building up of the body of Christ. So we're going to go through this whole weekend. Firstly, seeing who Christ is and the riches of who Christ is. We need a vision of him. Okay, so I'd like to begin firstly by helping you with an appreciation of this matter of these two words, revelation and vision. Revelation and vision. It's not just a revelation, it's the vision and experience of the unsearchable riches of Christ. Okay, so what would we say? There's the verses there. Actually, let's go ahead and read those verses. Let's read through the verses on this first section, and then we'll touch. Okay, let's alternate through. How about the brothers start with Colossians, then the sisters Ephesians. Sisters reads both 17, 18, then brothers pick up Ephesians 3:8. Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Colossians 1:12. Go, brothers. Giving thanks
to the Father who has qualified you for a share of the allotted portion of the saints in the light.
Sisters, Ephesians 1:17, 18. That
the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the full knowledge of Him, and the eyes of your heart have been enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints.
Amen.
Brothers, Ephesians 3:8. Ready, go. To me. Okay, I'd just like to give you a practical word about how to help with your vision.
Yeah.
I hope everybody has a pen, a pencil, or a highlighter. Yeah. All right? So if you don't have one tonight, I got a couple here. If you don't have anything, you need to, you know, you ready, brother? Okay, brother, amen. It just has to have a boomerang and it has to come back. Okay? Anybody else? Highlighter, pen, pencil? What do you want, pen? Pen? Highlighter? There we go. Okay, brothers, make sure that before you come to the next meeting, it's an instrument that will help with vision.
Amen.
It's very practical, okay? Because I'm going to be telling you, circle this, highlight that, right? We want the outlines to get into our being, not just go, oh, that's a good message. Good message. Next message, please. No, we want them to become part of what we are.
Yeah.
The more interactive you are with it, oh, let me also tell you another practical point. This thing right here, it's connected to vision. So when there's some speaking and you, oh, it's like, you know, tonight Marty and I had a little pizza. You just had to, There was response. We should practice, right? Something, you like that, you should speak, oh, yes, good, amen, very wonderful, right? Use your mouth to exercise and enter into the speaking. Okay, so under this first point concerning the unsearchable riches of Christ as the gospel, you know, in the verse in Ephesians 3:17, 18, it talks about that what? That He would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, right? And I mentioned we're here for something spiritual. We need to use our spirit, but we need to have an unveiling. Revelation, listen, revelation is, I have an awesome face, but if I was up here like this, you would go, wow, I wish I could see His awesome face. But you know what? You don't have any revelation yet. Because the mysteries of my face is hidden. And this is the way the mysteries of God in the Bible are. To most of us, they're there in the Word, but we don't see them because it's veiled. We need to pray, Lord, unveil.
Amen.
Remove the veil.
Amen.
That we can begin to see the scenery.
Yeah.
In the Bible, there's a marvelous scenery, and it's mainly concerning the person and the riches of that person.
Yeah.
But if you are veiled, or if it's veiled to you, you don't see it, right? So revelation, listen, revelation, we could say simply, is the unveiling. The unveiling. But what's behind the unveiling is, we could say, the scene. Okay, how many of you have been to the Grand Canyon? People say, oh, it's awesome. Da, da, da. Okay, all their words, even they show you pictures. It doesn't do any justice until you get to the edge and you go, what? You get a scene. And it's hard to get the scene out of you. How many have been to Niagara Falls? Okay, you're like, oh, there's a little water there. It kind of mists on you. Da, da, da. And you get there. I mean, it's so loud, you can't hear Andrew talking. I mean, water! There's a scene there. Okay, the riches of Christ are contained in His Word. This weekend, the first prayer we should have, I'm going to mention to you a number of prayers. The first prayer you should have is, say, Lord, grant me a revelation.
Amen.
Of the riches of Christ. What is that? It's the unveiling. And then after that, you need to pray, Lord, I want to see the vision of this wonderful, unsearchably rich Christ. Okay. What if you get a revelation and a vision, but you don't experience them? Horrible. Sat in front of the pizza, smelled the pizza, appreciated the pizza, the thickness of the pizza, the sauce on the pizza, and walked out. You could say you had some unveiling, and you saw something, and even you got a little scenery. You got some vision of the pizza, but you never experienced it. Okay, we want both, for this kind of enjoyment this weekend, we want both revelation and vision, and we want experience.
Amen.
Okay, so concerning this matter, you know, you have this matter, it's very, very sweet. It says that the eyes of your heart having been enlightened, that you may know what the hope of his calling is, and what are the what? The riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saint. Okay, the next word we want to define is this word riches. Riches. Sorry, I'm still so natural. I just hate it. When I hear riches, I think material. It's pathetic. This is not in that realm. These riches are wonderful. So I'll give you two definitions of the word riches that were the context of what we're talking about concerning the word riches, okay? The first definition of the riches that we're talking about, the riches of Christ, the riches are, listen, here it is, the many different items that constitute God's divine attributes, such as light, life, power, love, resurrection, holiness. These are the riches. When we talk about riches, we're talking about the many different items that constitute God's divine attributes. Okay? So that's the first definition. Now, a more experiential definition of riches is this second one. The second one is this. The riches are, listen, it's in three parts. The riches are what Christ is to us. Amen.
Yeah.
Part two, the riches are what Christ has for us.
Yeah.
Part three, the riches are what he has accomplished, attained, and obtained for us.
Yeah.
Very much more experiential, right? We can talk about God's divine attributes, but when Christ gets to you and Christ reaches you, you begin to start appreciating the riches of Christ, okay? So that's what we want to get into this weekend. We want to see more of who God is in his attributes. And we also want to have Christ applied to us. Christ experienced by us, right? All the items of what he's attained, obtained, these are the riches of Christ. Andrew, do you want some? Ask for it. Amen. Say, Lord, I want some riches. I want a lot of riches. I want my pockets full. I want my backpack full. I want my spirit full.
Amen.
I want to be loaded up with the riches of Christ.
Amen.
In revelation, in vision, and in experience.
Amen.
I want to leave another way.
Amen.
I came kind of partially filled with backpack. No, I'm going loaded.
Amen.
With the riches of Christ, okay?
Amen.
You want it? Ask for it.
Amen.
Lord, give me the riches.
Amen.
I want the riches.
Amen.
Before I go to bed tonight, I want more riches.
Amen.
In vision and also in experience. Okay, let's read Roman numeral number 2 all together. Ready, go. Okay, so when we talk about the riches of Christ, to begin, we have this point concerning the riches of Christ. It's in the processes of the triune God. Okay, this word is very unique, related to biblical matters. Processes of the triune God. Like, what is that? Processes of the triune God. The riches of Christ in those processes. Okay? Okay, just for our reading's sake, let's just read alternating brothers, sisters, A through E, okay? And we're going to get into these processes of the details. Ready? Just the title there, under Roman numeral 2, brothers A, and then we'll just go to E, okay? Ready, go. Brothers A.
Ah.
Sisters.
Aware.
Brothers.
Aye.
Sisters.
Aye.
Brothers.
Aware.
Okay, so the first item in the processes of the triune God is that, listen, Christ, catch this, Christ is rich in God.
Amen.
You want to know who God is? You better get to know who Christ is. Because Christ is rich in God. Whoa! Okay, now the question becomes, who is God to you? What is your understanding of God? Who's God? Well, most of us, based on our backgrounds, based on what we were told, we have some strange, God is this one on the throne! And he's about to wipe you out. I don't want any relationship with that guy, man. Who is Christ rich in? He's rich in God. What kind of God? Who is your God? Who is Christ's God? Okay, so we need to see the rich Christ, the riches of Christ in God in the view of at the end. Go to all the way at the end of the Bible. What kind of God? Right? So let's read these verses again. Let's alternate it through. Let's just go through the first three verses there all together. Revelation 22:1, and then brothers and sisters, alternate. Brothers, Psalms 46, and sisters, Psalms 36. Okay, all together. Revelation 22:1. Ready, go. And he
shall be a mirror.
Sisters. Andrew, can you draw? Who can draw? You don't have to be an expert. You just draw some lines. Who can draw? Brothers, come on. Come on, let's go. You've seen this picture before, but it's brand new because it's my little picture. And now you're going to put the little picture there. And then we probably should just take you to the back and have it hidden. Have it hidden. And then you can come out of Noma, but we won't do it. You'll just be live while I share, okay? So we just want to do this. You know what I mean? Just the basic of what we normally do. You're very familiar with this. But it's fresh to you now. Because you're in front of everybody. And they're all watching you. So you'll really enjoy this diagram. Okay. So he's rich in God, right? So according to these particular verses, it talks about what? At the end of the Bible, the God that we're talking about is, listen, he's the river of water of life.
Amen.
And what is he doing? Proceeding out. The Christ that's rich in God is the God that's proceeding out.
Amen.
Not the God on the throne judging you, but the water of life to reach you.
Amen.
Marvelous. Right? How about in Psalms 46? There's a river, the streams whereof make glad the city of God. Right? How about Psalms 36? How about being satisfied? Oh, not just satisfied, abundantly satisfied with the fatness of his house, right? What does he cause you to do? Drink. How about a God that's a drink? This is who our God in Christ is rich with. You know what he is? He's the one who's enabling you as man, the target of his desire, of his dispensing. Christ is rich in the proceeding out God. So, some of you are familiar with this little diagram. We call it the wire diagram, right? We're not talking about the God in eternity past, but we're talking about the triune God that eventually went through a process to be able to, listen, to be dispensed into you, Jared. This is who our Christ is rich in. It's good. So what? What happened? The God in eternity, right? Did he stay there? No. He came in time to become a man through incarnation. Wonderful. Our God, the complete God, became a man. Amen.
Amen.
What for? That he could participate in flowing himself to you.
Amen.
So he lived a perfect human life. Okay, recently I very much enjoyed this. It's hard for you to speak something of the reality of who Christ is in a particular way unless you go through it and experience it. There's some verses in Corinthians that talks about the God of comfort and comforting others. Okay, and if you're not a person that's experienced God's comfort, you can't comfort others. It's very real. Okay, do you know who our Christ is in rich in being with God? He's the one who experienced human life for 33 and a half years. Even in Hebrews it says, he knows how to sympathize with your weakness. How can he do that? Why? He went through it. It's not theory to our God as a man. It's reality. He's rich in this God. Becoming a man, living, listen, a perfect human life, yet without sin. Amen. Right? Then going to the cross, hallelujah, and being crucified to deal with every negative problem in the universe. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, he dealt with every problem. Okay, tonight, if you think you have a problem, you haven't seen the vision. All the problems have been solved. Right? So we give this little acronym, this little name, the SSSS Wolf, right? The SS Wolf. So we'll write it up here. He sank the ship once and for all. Hallelujah. So on the cross, listen. So, firstly, what did he do? Hallelujah. He dealt with Satan. Amen. Amen. Hebrews 2:14. Hallelujah. On the cross, he dealt with sin and death. He dealt with Satan himself, right? Then the next one is what? Sin. Then sins. Then the world. Then the old man. Then what? Law of ordinances. Then what? The flesh. What problem do you have? He dealt with it all.
Amen.
This is the one that's in Christ coming to you, reaching you, amen, right? Christ is rich in this God. Amen.
Amen.
So he died on the cross. He was buried. Listen, he was resurrected. Amen.
Amen.
And he did three main things in resurrection. He became the life-giving Spirit. All of what God is now is in him as the Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Right? He became the firstborn Son of God. Amen. He was the only begotten. Now he's the firstborn.
Amen.
Do you know what, Jared? That means there's some many born.
Amen.
You don't say there's a firstborn unless there's others. So also in resurrection, we were regenerated.
Amen.
To become the many brothers of Christ.
Amen.
Marvelous.
Amen.
Right? This is the processes that our God went through that is now in Christ. Eventually what? He ascended to the throne? Amen. Did he stay there? No, he became the one that is now dispensed into each one of us.
Amen.
So when we say Christ is rich in God, this is the God that we're talking about. We're not talking about the God in Genesis chapter 1. We're talking about the one that's flowing out, proceeding out. Even tonight, Jared, he's wanting to reach you and impart himself into you. And I believe he is. You open a little bit, oop, more of God gets imparted into us, right? So the first item of who Christ is and what Christ is, listen, he is rich in God. What kind of God? The proceeding out God.
Amen.
The flowing God.
Amen.
The drinkable God.
Yeah.
The one that you can say, oh, Lord Jesus, come into me.
Yeah.
Save me. Refresh me. Fill me.
Yeah.
You know what he does? He does it. Why? Because he has gone through such a wonderful process. Okay. So, the next item there is what? Let's read that all together. Ready? Be the
Word.
Amen. He's rich in the Word.
Yeah.
So, we should ask, well, what is the Word?
Yeah.
What is the Word? Christ is rich in the Word. I probably should have some understanding, right? In the verse there. Let's read the verse all together. John 1.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
So the Word was God.
Amen.
He's rich in the Word. Well, the Word, what is Christ as the Word? Listen, the Lord as the Word is Christ as what? This is the three items. He's the explanation, the definition, and the expression of God. The Word. You could even say, listen, He's the account of God. Apart from Christ, you don't know who He is. You don't have any explanation. You don't have any definition. There's no expression of God apart from Christ. Amen. As the Word, right? So, do we need the Word? Yes. Apart from the Word, we wouldn't know God, right? So Christ is rich in the Word. Amen. Let's go ahead and read the second verses there. John 1:18, brothers, go. No one
has ever seen God, the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father. He has declared Him.
Christ has declared God to us as the Word. Amen. Even not just this is an outward objective Bible as the Word, but you know what? He's the reality of these words conveying who God is to us, okay? Sisters, how about the next verse? 1 John 1:1, go. That
which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we beheld and our hands handled, concerning the Word of life.
Amen. He is the Word of what? The Word of life. So that's why the next point, all together, ready? See.
Life.
Christ is rich in
life.
What kind of life? This is the eternal Zoe life of God, right? This is the divine, eternal life of God. So John 1:4 says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. We should ask, if this life is the divine, eternal Zoe life, practically, how does it relate to me or to us? Yeah, He's rich in life, but if that life never comes to you, you don't know anything about it, and it's objective, it has no particular application to you. You're just saying, oh, okay, God's life, that's wonderful that God is life. In Christ, He's life. Okay, you know, what is life practically? Christ is life, listen, it's when the triune God is imparted into you, you participate in Christ being life. When He reaches you, you realize, wow, this is God as life, right? He wants to impart Himself. Even in John 10:10, He says, He came that you would have life.
Yeah.
Not just among you, as He was with the disciples, but He wanted to be in the believers.
Yeah.
People ever ask you, why did Christ come? He tells you, I came that you may have life.
Yeah.
What is this? This is the divine, eternal, uncreated life of God. So, you want life? Ask for it. Lord, fill me with your life. Lord, I want to go home with more of your life. Dispense your life into me. I want the riches of your life. Listen, filling my spirit and saturating my soul. Amen. So we have this verse, Colossians 3:4. Very good verse, right? This shows you that Christ as life needs to be where? In you, subjectively, right? Let's read it all together. Colossians 3:4. Ready, go. When Christ,
our life is manifested, then you also be manifested in Him, glory.
Hard for Christ to be our life if it's not in you.
Right?
Christ, our life. Right? We need to enjoy the subjective life that's within all of the believers, right? So eventually in Romans 5:10, sisters, how about this verse? For if we Amen. We will be saved in His life.
Amen.
Is that just once and for all? Initially? Do you need His life tonight?
Yes.
We need His life. He's rich in life. He's rich in who God is. When His life reaches us, we enjoy all that God is to us, okay? Then not only that, in D, He's what? Light.
Light.
What is the difference? Because it talks about the light of life, right? life and light together. Okay? Life is, listen, life is God, the triune God being dispensed into you. What is light? Light is God shining. God's, listen, God's expression. God's shining, God's expression. And it's, listen, very much tied to his life. So I give you a up-to-date experiential failure. But I got light, and I'm thankful. Oh, when you get light, you're just like, hey, the failure doesn't mean anything. You get God shining. You get brought back into the enjoyment of his life. I get in the car. My wife's taking me to the airport. I have a certain way of driving. She has a certain way of driving. We're going in the midst of traffic. We have plenty of time. But I have, by fallen nature, my father's life, who always goes the shortest way. So I get in the car. She's driving. It's her car. She's driving. She's taking me to the airport. I sit down in the car. She pulls out of the driveway, and she turns a certain way. We haven't gotten out of the driveway. And she turned left. And I reacted. 6:45 this morning. I reacted. What are you doing? And she says, I'm going to the airport. Why are you going that way? I said, you're going to go sit in traffic. Don't you know? And then she said, it's okay. We've got plenty of time. I said, but you're going to, which way are you going? Which way are you going? And then light came. And you know what the light did? It brought me back into the fellowship of the Lord's life. And then I just realized, man, you are so natural. You have your way. You're so strong. You're so right. But Lord, this is the Lord shining. Where am I? I'm not in any of this conversation. And inwardly, I said, Lord Jesus, forgive me. Amen. I'm so natural. I'm so fallen. You know what? As soon as I did that, immediately I said, dear, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I am so sorry. Just a reaction in my natural life. It's a big zero. It didn't matter about anything. Yet, you know what? This is our life in the fallen man. Just disrupting, interrupting, causing problems. There was no problem. We had plenty of time. She said, it's okay, it's okay. Then I got on the plane. I had to apologize to her again. I thought, Lord Jesus, what a man you are. Fallen to the uttermost. And I was enjoying the Lord. It is that quick. Okay, we need more light. Amen. But you know what? It's the light of life. Amen. Whenever the Lord's shining comes, it wasn't an outward beam. Fallen man. No, it was, you know what? It's from the sense of life within. Yeah. That was the Lord shining. It was the expression of God within. You know what it did? It brought me back to life. Okay, so these verses are quite good. In John 1:4, so in him was the life, and the life was the light of men. Then in the next verse, 8:12, let's read that together. Ready, go. Again.
Therefore Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall by no means walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life.
Just remember that the light in the Bible, which is the expression of God, always is tied to his life. We think light, oh, I'm under his shining. No, and we're like, oh, I gotta follow it. No, you know what his light does? It draws you to enjoy his life.
Amen.
You know what you need to do to the light? Kiss it.
Yeah.
Hug it. Love on it. Say, oh, thank you, Lord. If not, I would just live in my natural life and feel good about it. But the light causes us to realize, I need more God. I need more God as life. right? So in the universe, there's kind of three kinds of lights. You could say there's the natural light created by God, the sun, the moon, the stars. This is one kind of light, right? Even within man, we could say there's some artificial light tonight. We wouldn't be able to enjoy the sharing tonight without the artificial light, right? Man-made light. But even man-made light sometimes is in philosophies. It has some kind of light. You know what it mainly does? Exposes your problem but doesn't give you a solution.
Right.
Man's concepts, man's idea. This brings some kind of light. Philosophy, logic. Actually, people are, their whole lives they're wrapped up with that. And they have no answer, right? Well, hallelujah, we're not in that realm. We're in the realm of God as light.
Amen.
And that light is a shining of the inward sense of the Lord's life within. And when it comes, it brings us back into the fellowship. It says in John 8, He was the great light, bringing men to God, right? He was the great light, shining in darkness. I just felt like that when that light came, I just was in darkness. I said, man, you are dark. You are so dark. But you know what? Repent. Thank the Lord.
Amen.
Kiss the light.
Amen.
Why? Because it brings you back into the fellowship of this wonderful light. Okay, the next point is that Christ in His riches, I don't know if we'd put this one on here. He's rich in the flesh. Like, what? Well, this is the Bible. This is the Bible. And we need a renewing of our mind.
Amen.
So I'm pretty sure by the end of this weekend, some of your concepts are going to go poof, get blown. Why? Because the Bible is going to be spoken all weekend long. And you know what the Bible does? It renews. So He's rich in the flesh. It's not a pleasant term. Actually, in Genesis 6, the word flesh, my goodness, even God, He repented. He was like, why did I make man? Because man has become so fallen. Flesh. It's a negative term. Yet, in the New Testament, let's read John 1:14. Ready, go. It's the same word in John 1. Remember, the Word, here, same Word, ready, go. And the Word
became flesh, and tabernacled among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and reality.
So that Word that was the very God became flesh. Yet in what way? We mentioned in His human life, no sin, right? Well, the verse is clear there. In Romans 8:3, it says, for that which the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of the flesh of sin, and concerning sin, condemned sin in the flesh. He became flesh. The next verse, let's read it all together. Was there sin in Him?
No.
Let's go. Him who did not...
He made sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him.
So, Him who did not know sin. He was in the likeness of the flesh of sin. What for? So that He could take care of SSS Wolf.
Right.
We had all kinds of problems. He had to come as a man and be crucified on our behalf. We need to have a fresher appreciation. Wow, our Lord.
Yeah.
We could say, and God became man. No, it says the flesh.
Amen.
The flesh.
Yeah.
Right? Yet without sin. So He's rich in this. You need to get a fresh appreciation. Christ is rich in this element. Why? Because what did it produce? Marvelous. Dealt with every problem because He became flesh, right? On our behalf. Okay, so we have to get the yet without sin verse, Hebrews 4:15. All together, go.
For we do not have a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our weaknesses.
Yet without sin. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yet without sin.
Amen.
That's why it's effective. There was no sin in Him. Praise the Lord! Our Christ is rich in this item of Him becoming the flesh. We need to have a fresh seeing. Lord, not only an unveiling, but a fresh vision of who Christ is and how rich He is in this matter. Okay, so an example related to this is quite striking. If you've noticed, I don't know if you begin to notice, that basically we're going through the Gospel of John. Have you noticed? Gospel of John. Tonight we're going to get through a number of chapters, so we're only on what? John chapter 1 so far. We haven't gotten very far. John chapter 1. We're on John chapter 1, and He's rich in a lot of items. Okay, so let's go through F through O. All of these have tons of verses. The outline is too long. We can't give you all the verses. Too much. As many verses that were under all the previous items, they're all under all these items. Let's just read alternating through, right? This takes us through John chapter 4. Ready? Brothers, F, and alternate. F, the tabernacle. Sisters, G,
the lamb.
Brothers, H,
the spirit.
I,
the house.
J,
the heavenly ladder.
K,
the temple.
L,
the servant.
M,
the eternal life.
N,
the bride.
O,
the spring.
All together. Oh, the spring! Don't forget the spring. But the spring. Okay, all of these items. Christ is rich in all of these items. You can't exhaust Him.
Amen.
Right? So, concerning this Christ, we say He is all inclusive. He includes all the items. This is just the first four chapters of the Gospel of John. How many items is He in the Gospel of Matthew? So many. How about in Corinthians? How about in Colossians? Oh my goodness. Item after item of the unsearchable riches of Christ. They're, listen, for your revelation and vision, but they're also for your experience. Right? Okay, we've got to move on. Roman numeral 3, let's read this all together. The riches of Christ. So we need a vision of Him, and now we touch this matter of the enjoyment.
Amen.
His riches are for your enjoyment.
Amen.
That's biblical. You ready to want a verse? Let's get a verse in the Bible. Ready? Who's got their Old Testament? Got your Old Testament on your phone or in... Let's look up this verse concerning the matter of Christ being our enjoyment. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 15. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 15. If somebody has it, you can read it out loud so we can hear it. Amen. Somebody got a recovery version? Deuteronomy 16:15.
You shall keep the feast to Jehovah your God for 7 days in the place which Jehovah will choose. For Jehovah your God will bless you in all your produce and in all your undertakings. Therefore you shall be nothing but joyful.
You shall be what?
Nothing but joyful.
If you are not joyful, you are not biblical. Amen. So concerning the riches of Christ, what we need to do is enjoy them. This verse in Deuteronomy relates to the labor of all the children of Israel on the good land. Then they gathered their produce. And then it says, when you brought your produce, what did you need to do? You had to be joyful. Oh, tomorrow morning, if you are grumpy tonight, don't come to the meeting in the morning sad. Come full of joy.
Amen.
Get up and have a walk with the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And say, Lord, fill me with your life.
Amen.
Fill me with your riches.
Amen.
And in the meeting, I want to be a proper believer.
Amen.
I want to enjoy you.
Amen.
Right? This is what we should do. So the two points under this section concerning the enjoyment is related to a feast, right? The Feast of Passover and the Feast of Tabernacles. Okay, when I say feast, do you go, oh, boring? Man, that's a lot of work. What a chore. I invite you to a feast.
Amen.
The Christian life should be a feast. Really tough work, huh? It's a feast.
Amen.
Another word is a banquet.
Amen.
Your Christian life should be a banquet.
Yes. Yes.
My goodness.
Yes.
So, the feasts in the Old Testament, there were three main feasts, right? The Passover, the Harvest, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Okay. This is the type in the Old Testament of the children of Israel laboring on the good land and obtaining the riches from the good land and bringing those riches to offer them to the Lord. And they had to do it in a joyful way. That was the commandment. You had to do it joyfully. And you know what? Our God didn't say, come and do this. He said, come and have a feast.
Yeah.
What a picture. This is a picture of our experience in the New Testament. Our enjoyment of Christ should be a feast.
Yeah.
It should be a banquet, right? So the characteristic many of us think of the feast of Passover, when we talk about Passover, we think, oh, you know, the lamb slain for our redemption. That's awesome. And we do appreciate that. Concerning the Passover, mainly we think of the blood. And we need it. But you know what? The main thing with the Passover was eating. Eating the Passover lamb was the goal of the Passover.
Amen.
Yes, they needed the blood. And oh, how we appreciate the blood, cleansing us of our sins, washing us of the defilement, being over us, right? So that the Lord would pass over us. But listen, they roasted the lamb. They ate the lamb.
Amen.
Eating is enjoyable.
Amen.
Eating is so enjoyable. Doesn't matter how many times you've eaten. When you come to eat again, you're like, man, this is enjoyable. Not every time I eat do I have a banquet. But every little eating, it's enjoyable.
Yeah.
Right? This is our Christ. We need to eat the riches of the Christ that we have seen. So we need to say, Lord, cause me to become a normal Christian.
Yeah.
I want to be an eater.
Amen.
I want to eat you. I want to enjoy your riches, right? So, in 1 Corinthians 5:7, it's not there on your verse there, but it in the New Testament, 5:7-8, 1 Corinthians 5:7-8 says, our Passover Christ has been sacrificed for us. Then it says, let us keep the feast.
Yes.
This weekend, we're here to keep the feast.
Yes.
Welcome to the feast.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
You thought you were coming to a conference. No, you came to a feast.
Amen.
And it's going to be dish after dish.
Yes.
Banquet after banquet.
Yes.
Riches of Christ upon riches of Christ.
Amen.
How much do you want to eat? As much as you can eat, it's up to you.
Amen.
Right? We hope you eat a lot of the riches of Christ. Let us keep the feast.
Yeah.
Okay, let's look at these verses John chapter 6. John chapter 6, 54 and 58. Brothers 54 and then sisters 58. Go.
He eats my flesh and drinks my blood.
Sisters.
This is the bread which came down out of heaven, God has the Father's name and life. He who eats this bread shall live forever.
Amen.
So these verses were quite striking to the ones that were there at the time. It shook some people up. You know why? It didn't fit their concept. But the Lord didn't stop just with verse 58. You know, when somebody shook up, you can kind of tell they're shook up. You're like, the disciples were shook up, like, eat your flesh, drink your blood. I mean, you think the Lord was like, I don't know that they're shook up. No, he was watching them. These guys are shook up. They don't understand. They don't have the revelation and vision of what I'm talking about. So he didn't stop there. He says, well, good luck with that, okay? See you later. No, he continued, right? It's not on your section there, but in verse 63, what does it say? That's right. John 6:63, it says, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words which I have spoken to you are spirit and are life."
Amen.
We need a spiritual eating.
Amen.
We need a spiritual feasting.
Amen.
On the riches of who Christ is, right? So this is the question I have for you. If you are supposed to be an eater, and you are supposed to be a person that feasts in your Christian life, I want to know, how are you going to maintain it? How do you maintain your enjoying of Christ as the feast of Passover and of the feast of Tabernacles? How are you going to maintain this feast? How do you maintain your enjoyment of the riches of Christ? Well, one way for sure is you came to a banquet this weekend, so this is a good way to maintain it, right? Be with those who are enjoying the rich Christ, right? But practically, day to day, we don't get to have a conference every day of our life. But how are you going to, you know, the conference will end, you're going to go home. How are you going to maintain your enjoyment, right? Well, in these verses, it points out to the fact that what? The way we maintain is what? It's through the Spirit. Where is the Spirit? In this verse, it tells you, the words
Amen.
That I speak to you are spirit and life. The words. The Bible is full of His words. And His word is spirit and life. If you're going to eat and maintain your enjoyment of Christ as the rich feast, you need to spend time in His word.
Amen.
Right? Exercise your spirit over the word. You know what you'll do? You'll eat Him.
Amen.
You'll enjoy Him.
Amen.
You'll maintain your enjoyment.
Amen.
If you're hungry, it's probably because you haven't eaten. Then you become, like we mentioned, you'll become hangry. That's not a pretty sight. Most Christians are hangry. They have a rich feast before them, but they're not eating. We wake up, the Word is there. Christ is there. The Spirit is there. But you don't eat. So then you do what you did with my... get in the car and you go, "Why are you turning left? I was enjoying the Lord not long before that." I'm like, what happened to me? It shows you. It doesn't take long to be away from the Lord and the Word. Right? Some of us are starving. You guys look like really just bones. It's a little scary up here. I mean, the Lord's wondering, are you going to eat me? I'm so rich. I'm a banquet. I'm a feast. Well, we have to spend time in His Word. Maintaining our enjoyment of Christ as the feast, we need to spend time exercising our spirit to contact Him. Contact the Word. So, if you're not eating Christ, you're eating problems. That's what you do. And then the problems that were nothing, all of a sudden, they're occupying your whole life. And they were nothing. You're eating the wrong thing. And you think, oh man, that problem, it just gets bigger and bigger. And you just keep eating it. Stop eating your problems. Start eating Christ. Right? Take in the rich supply. Okay? Then in concerning the next portion of the Feast of Tabernacles, the characteristics here was, you know, in the tabernacles, the Lord wanted them to remember what He had done for them. All that He had done, bringing them out, right? It should be the conclusion of our Christian experience. So there was this remembrance, okay? So there's too many details in this portion. Anyway, I encourage you to get into the sections in John chapter 6 concerning the Feast of Passover and in John chapter 7:39. There's a footnote, it's quite good, in the Recovery Version describing the details of these two feasts. One's at the beginning of our Christian life and one's at the end of our Christian life. Guess what? As believers, you begin feasting and your whole life long, you know what you do? You end feasting. Doesn't matter how long you've been feasting. And guess what? In the New Jerusalem, New Heaven, New Earth, you'll continue to feast. Isn't that incredible? Okay, if we haven't been feasting, start! Wake up, people! You're at a banquet! Don't starve yourself! We're just, you know, I'll take a little bit of an hors d'oeuvre. Well, it's not to my liking. Get the nutrition of the riches of who Christ is in your being. In Indonesia, they eat with their hands. When you're first there, you're like, come on, you know, utensils? No, they eat with their hands. Okay, you can go all day long. You're like, man, you're eating your head with your hand. I can't do it. I'm not doing that. You know what you'll do? You'll starve. Some eat with chopsticks. Some eat with a knife and a fork. Some eat with a spoon. Does that really matter? Get it into you.
Amen.
This weekend, don't just get revelation and vision, but get experience.
Amen.
Right? Practice and exercise yourself to all weekend long. Lord, I want to take you in. I want you to be my reality. I want these riches to become mine.
Amen.
Right? Christ, mine life. Right? Too many points. Okay, I've got to stop. How about let's just read through the remaining points on Roman numeral 4. Neil, it's impossible. This is impossible, brother. Brother, I'm not even cutting and pasting. I'm just bulldozing. Okay, the rich. Let's read just through the main points here at the end. Ready? Go. The riches of Christ.
In His shepherding care.
Oh, I just love that. In His shepherding care.
Yes.
Who does not need care? I mean, just the word itself, shepherding care. I'm wide open. Lord, this weekend, I'm wide open.
Amen.
Lord, you know the areas of my being that need your shepherding. We need to say, Lord, come in as the shepherd.
Amen.
Actually, we all need shepherding care, right? Okay, let's go through, sisters, and then read through the points. Sisters A, the shepherd, the door.
The pasture.
Brothers,
preservation and life.
C,
great
reality.
D,
the way, the reality, and the light.
E,
the
then F,
the all-inclusive, spirit.
Okay, so these take you through the points of who Christ is in His riches in this particular element of His shepherding care. John 10, John 11, John 12, John 14. Very, very rich. Okay, those chapters are packed.
Amen.
With Christ's shepherding care.
Amen.
Okay, so the definition of what a shepherd is. Here's the definition. You want to go, okay, the Lord is, you know, do you realize the Lord, it says, everybody, believers, oh, John, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Okay, do you know who the shepherd is? We need to have a fresh seeing. Okay? A shepherd, listen. Once you find out who the shepherd is, you say, bring him on! Because I need him! Okay, you know what he is? Listen, he's one who takes all-inclusive, tender care of every one of his sheep.
Amen.
All-inclusive, tender care. At my parents' 50th wedding anniversary, a little bit before that, they were offered to take a trip to New Zealand to spend some time on a sheep farm. And so they said, we want our children to go. And we said, Mom and Dad, it's your 50th wedding anniversary, you go. And they said, no, we want our children to come with us. We're like, come on, Dad, what are you going? No, we want you to come. So a number of my siblings and their spouses, we went to New Zealand and we lived on a sheep farm for a week. In the South Island of New Zealand, there's some mountains, they're called the Remarkables. And at the base there's this huge lake, and on the other side there's these sheep pastures. And we lived in a house, and I think there was about 8,000 sheep in this area. And there was one family, he was a shepherd, and he had a wife and a couple of small children. And he had a number of sheep dogs. And we lived there and watched the shepherd take all inclusive, tender care of the sheep. It was remarkable. It was at the Remarkables, but it was remarkable. You know what? What's striking? Actually, sheep are dumb. Most sheep, they're just dumb. And the characteristic of a sheep is, you know what? They mainly follow. So there are some sheep that they train to take the lead. And then the dogs help, right? It's amazing. And they're constantly moving them from field to field so that they get a constant fresh supply, field to field. And they go up the hills, and then they bring them down, right? All through the day, they're just moving them. But they're mainly dumb. They just follow. And actually, without the ones that are overseeing their care, you know, we took a hike up the side of the mountain, and as we're hiking up, sheep skull, another sheep skull, bones. Okay, there's predators. There's predators all over that. Sheep's good eating to some kind of animals. This is like, oh, here's some sheep. Okay, but you know what? There's this all-inclusive tender care. Our shepherd, listen, takes tender care. Not just of your person physically. Not just, listen, of your spirit inwardly. But listen, even in the New Testament it says, he's the shepherd and overseer of your soul. You know where mainly we as men need shepherding? In our soul. Some of you came this weekend wounded in your soul. Guess what? You came to the right place. Because the shepherd is here. The one who can care for the wound in your soul. Some of you have been wounded for years. The Lord as the shepherd can take care of your inward needs. Amen. Isn't this wonderful? Yes. Anyway, case after case. How does he shepherd you? Does he just shepherd you like what he was physically with the disciples outwardly? No. Now listen. It says he's another comforter. He's within you. Amen. He just doesn't shepherd you objectively. He's shepherding you as the Spirit within. Oh, I believe the Lord will comfort you many times this weekend as the one who can all-inclusively take care of us in a tender way. Anyway, it's inward. Listen, his shepherding is inward and organic. Amen. Lord, bring it on. I want all of it. All of what you want to give to me this weekend, I want it. We should pray this way. Lord, shepherd the parts that I haven't been able to receive. Amen. Shepherding from others. I want you to touch me. Amen. I want you to care for me. Amen. In a very particular way, right? So, just to conclude here, it's quite striking. It's not on these section, but actually the section of shepherding really starts in John chapter 8. And it starts with a very striking case of the woman caught in adultery. Yeah. And you know what? If go back and read the verses, read verse 3, read verse 10, read verse 11, talking about tender, his touching of this woman, my goodness, tender. Okay, listen, he loved her, yet he was righteous. He didn't violate his righteousness. Incredible, right? Religion and the law were there, ready to stone her. Condemning her. What did he do? Who among you? Right? They were all in the same case that she was. They were all exposed. They were all defeated. Okay, you know what the Lord's mercy to this woman was? At least, it's crazy. These guys were doing these things and trying to catch the Lord. It's good they brought her to Jesus. Amen. Amen. So what you should do is, number one, thank the Lord that he brought you here this weekend. And number two, thank that brother or sister that invited you. Yeah. That's what you need to do. That woman was like, oh, I'm so glad they brought me to Jesus. Because why? She got the shepherding care. Amen. So we all this weekend need to come to Jesus. Amen. Lord, we want more of your shepherding care. Amen. Anyway, we need to stop here. Hallelujah for a good time of banqueting. Amen. Did you get a little taste? Amen. I hope you got more than an appetizer. Amen. Don't go away hungry. Anyway, brothers, I don't know what we should do. Ready?
Lord.
Amen.
Isn't Christ rich?
Amen.
Let's all declare, I have a rich Christ.
I have a rich Christ.
Okay, our brother shared with us many, many prayers that we can pray. So let's take about 1 minute to pray and open and unload ourselves for this weekend with your neighbor, and then we'll give you further instructions.